Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Investors around the world, finance ministers around the world, probably Timothy Geithner in the U.S. Treasury Secretary watching everything going on in Greece this morning. We're going to step away from the tear gas, which actually you can see on the streets as people gather by that barricade outside the Parliament building, where it's possible in the next few minutes there may be an outcome of the vote on that austerity measure, which would avoid a Greek default within the Eurozone, save the Eurozone from the so-called contagion, Lehman-style contagion that we've been talking about for weeks now. But again, we're going to step back from the tear gas. Welcome Dan Gross onto the program, columnist and economics editor for Yahoo Finance. Dan, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
You know, much of the discussion in finance ministers, in the French government, in the German government, is how to avoid a default for Greece, with the idea that on the other side of default lies some horrible dark place that we cannot go. It seems to me that your premise this morning, and take us through this, is maybe we shouldn't be as afraid of default as the finance ministers of the world would lead us to believe. Help me to understand how you came to that idea.
Well, I think default would be disastrous for the people who own all the debt, and those are the German and the French banks. And that is why the European Union, the European Central Bank, have gone to such exertions to try to keep Greece solvent. They're giving Greece money so that they could turn around and make interest payments to bondholders, whom happen to be their own domestic banking systems. For those countries at the heart of Europe, a Greek default would mean that they would have to bail out their own banks, which they want to avoid.
And
now, the larger question is whether default would be a disaster for the defaulter, i.e., Greece in this instance. And part of what the financial system always tells you is that you have to stay current on your debt. You have to make good on that because, you know, in the future, no one will lend to you if you don't meet your commitments today.
And that would be a surprise to, say, the government of Argentina, who was told the very same thing back in the 1980s, and they're doing fine. A post-default Greece would look like what, Dan Gross?
you know, they would take a hit, and they would have very bad growth, which they had for a couple years, but they would rebound. I mean, part of the thing that is the problem with keeping up with so much debt, they're spending so much of their income, they're spending so much of their, they're cutting so much other spending just to keep current on their debt. They don't have room for investment or consumption of other stuff. When you default on your debt, as Argentina did in 2001, in 2005, foreign creditors basically got, I think, about two-thirds of what they were owned. But they were able to borrow later. Iceland, they defaulted on some of their bank debt. The government took over the banks, and then they told the bondholders, you know what, we can't afford to pay these bonds. They jumped up and down. The currency devalued. They had a deep recession. 2 weeks ago, Iceland's government was able to borrow on international markets at 5% interest rate for 5 years, which is not bad.
That's not bad.
The markets are forgiving. You think about, you know, companies file for Chapter 11, they get rid of their debts. All of a sudden, they are in a much better position to be borrowing again. So one of the things that default does, it enables you to shed a lot of onerous debts and then puts you in a better financial profile to borrow in the future.
Let's focus on the consumers for just a second. I mean, the exact same profile happens for consumers. They default, they go bankrupt, and for a period of 7 years maybe, or even less if they're studious about this, their access to credit is reduced, but then you slowly climb your way back, and indeed, that sort of shrinkage means that you can devote your spending to things other than paying interest. It becomes a kind of stimulus package on its own, one consumer at a time. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes. I mean, that's how, you know, the U.S. system, for all our faults, is much better at other systems in processing financial failure. You know, write down debt, file Chapter 11, restructure, foreclosure, et cetera. Very painful for all involved, but you get up and then you move on and go forward.
Dan, can we go to the really scary place now?
Okay.
U.S. default?
No. That is a place that is so scary that, you know, even the people who do those upside-down roller coasters at Six Flags, even they won't go there. It's one of those things that you say, you know, the argument is we can't contemplate it because we can't contemplate it.
Dan Gross, columnist and economics editor for Yahoo Finance. But Dan, though, which situation, whether you're default or non-default, actually helps Greece solve the problems that got them into this situation? I mean, in fact, we talk a lot about high government spending, but the Greek government spends less, a lower portion of their GDP anyway, than Germany and other countries. What really seems to be the problem in Greece is collection of taxes. They have a large cash economy, and there's a lot of tax evasion going on there. Will that be solved by either default or non-default?
No. So, you know, you have this kind of macroeconomic problem, and then you have a cultural/political problem. And the cultural/political problem is that Greece does not act like it wants to be a sovereign nation. I mean, a sovereign nation, it collects taxes, and it pays its bills, and it has some transparency in terms of what it's spending and what its debts are. Greece has not had that, and even though it didn't have that, it was allowed into the Eurozone, which is going to turn out to be the sort of fatal mistake. So a default alone is not going to transform Greece, you know, into a Scandinavian country with all those efficient systems that it entails. But yes, collecting taxes would be a good starting point.
And we're watching the tear gas on the streets of Athens. Why is the Greek situation so different from a default for the U.S. Treasury, Dan Gross, before we go?
Well, you know, if the U.S. were to default, it would be even worse. But the U.S. is not going to default because, however dysfunctional our political system is, we have the ability to levy taxes and to collect them. We've done so in the past. If the U.S. were to increase taxes, if the marginal rates were to go from 28 to 30%, if we were to increase the payroll taxes, the IRS would effectively collect them. If the U.S. decided that it needed to cut spending across the board 5 or 10%, we would not have this kind of rioting in the streets. Our political system can handle that. It's just that at this point, our political leaders are choosing not to do it.
All right, Dan Gross, columnist and economics editor for Yahoo Finance. You're hearing in Greece they are choosing to do it. Austerity being debated and vote expected within the next 15 minutes or 30 minutes or so.
Ο ελληνικός λαός λέει ναι στην αξιοπρέπεια και στην ελπίδα. Και αυτός ο αγώνας δεν θα καμφθεί ούτε με μία ψηφοφορία, ούτε με απόπειρες προβοκάτσιας.